Today's Perek in Masechet Kelim is Perek Chof Tet, and we are holding right on Mishnah Aleph. I think we actually introduced the Mishnah yesterday by pointing out that it's a continuation of what we were talking about yesterday, and that is things that are sticking out. But in this case, we're talking about Yadot. We talked a lot about Yadot. Now we're talking about Yadot, not of regular Kelim, like a pot handle or something like that. Now we're talking about Yadot to a beged. And remember, one of the important things about Yadot is how long they are. Because if they're too long, then any extra part that isn't necessary to be the Yad is not going to be able to be Mevi Tuma. It's not going to be able to be Motzi Tuma. Only that part that actually enables you to handle what it is you're handling or is required for some purpose by what it's on would be considered to be a kosher Yad. Anything beyond that is as if it's not even there, even though it might be there. So let's take a look at what is considered to be a yad. So let's say you have nume hasadin. So you've got the threads that you leave hanging at the edge of a sheet, but these are decorative. Remember, like on your talus, you've got these beautiful fringes, right? So that is considered to be a part of the tali, the sudarim, that on scarves also. Even today, we have these fringes on scarves, or we have them just sticking out to make it look pretty. And hatratin, that's the types of hats that are also have these little pieces hanging down. Or a pilyon shel rosh, that's a shawl, also today are made with these nice little fringes. The shear over there, up to six etzba'ot, from the edge is considered to be a usable yad. Beyond that, it's not a usable yad. Shell of afkarsin, or you're talking about an undershirt, that's considered to be a yad even up to 10 etzpaot from the edge, because an afkarsin is usually tied on the top. Not our kind of undershirt, but an undershirt that's got a little cord on it to get it closed properly. Now, there are some things that are not that long, not six, but only three. So let's say you have nime of a sagos. Sagos is a coat, a thick coat. Or a radid. Radid is something that's very thin, and it's a scarf. Or a regular shirt. Or a talit. Over there, shalosh etzbaot. Anything beyond that is not necessary. And then there are some things that are a yad, and they can be as long as they are. So let's say a nime kippah shel zikina. Or so you've got an old woman's cap, or the gomadin shel arviim, you've got an Arab, what do they call those things that they don't allow in France? I forgot. That covers your face. Huh? A burqa. So a burqa of an Arab, or a kukin, which is goat hair, or a punda. Remember, the punda was your money belt, or a malforet, that's something you wrap around your head, or a pargod that you use as a curtain. Over there, it doesn't matter how long they are, because they are always usable, and because of that, they function as a yad. Now we go on to Mishnah Beit. How about if you've got things that are stitched together and generally come in a group? So what would be the din over there? Well, shalosh kisatot shel tzemer. Let's say you've got quilts. So if you will tie them together with a stitch, then that actually makes them mechuber in the same way, because that's the way that you carry them around. You may spread them over your bed like that. So that's also a kind of yad. So you can have up to three if they're made out of wool. You can have up to six if they're thin and they're made out of linen. Or you can have three sheets. Or you can have 12 different handkerchiefs. Or you can have two pairs of pants, shnei suvrikin. But when it comes to things like shirts or a talit or a thick coat, a klubkarin, then only one. So then it's considered to be a chibur latuma la'ezoya. These things are considered to be connected to each other. If something touches one of them, they're all tameh. If the paraduma is sprinkled on one of them, they're all tahar, and they're all considered to be mechuber. But more than that, the maximum number is considered to be midrabanan a chumra, and it's a chibur letuma. But you would not be able to be metayer it by using hazoya on it. So midrabanan, we were machmer on it, and they become tamei midrabanan as if this was a kosher yad, despite the fact that it really wasn't, because there were too many things that were hooked together. Rabbi Yossi says, no, The Rabbanan did not create a chumrah that is contradictory to the dinim of Hazoya, and therefore af lo letuma. Now we go on to Mishnah Shlishit. Okay, so we've got cords that are really part of the kli. So if you're talking about, let's say, a plumb line, right? Well, over there, I mean, the plumb line consists of a weight and a cord, and that's, you know, that's the meaning of a plumb line. So now the question is, how much of a cord is considered to be normal on a plumb line? And this is only similar to the din of yadais, really. And beyond that, it's not considered to be part of the kli. So if you have a chuta mashkolet, this is a chuta mashkolet that's used in the house. This is what you buy in Amazon. And that's used just for, you know, making sure that the shelves in the kitchen are straight and stuff like that. So then you only need a maximum plumb line of 12 tvachim, because you don't usually use it more unless you're a professional carpenter. If you are a professional, shelchar hashim, then you would use up to 18 tvachim because you might be climbing on a ladder and making sure that you're painting in a straight line or whatever. If you're a builder, oh, good heavens, a builder. I mean, you could be talking about standing on the fifth floor. So then even 50 amos would be normal, and that would be part of your plumb line. But more than that, if you want it to be attached, it's not considered to be attached. It's considered to be tar. And if anything tameh would touch the end of the plumb line, the extra piece, not the whole thing, but the extra piece would not be able to be mekabel tuma and so on. So it wouldn't matter. Now, there's other types of plumb lines. There's the plumb lines of people who are doing plastering, and there's plumb lines of people who are doing Sistine Chapels. Now, those, you know, the Sistine Chapel is very, very high. And over there, it could be any size at all. It doesn't matter how long, how short, because there it's basically, if you're talking about decorations, there's all kinds of things that doesn't matter how high it would be. There's all kinds of things you'd have to do. Perek, Shechavtet, Mishnah, Dalit. Chut Moznayim Shel Zahavim. The Chut Moznayim, remember the typical hand scale. And if it's a guy who's working in gold, it's a little tiny scale, right? You hold it up from the top and you've got the scale underneath and the two baskets in the scale, the two pans of the scale are on the bottom. And in order not to get your finger in the way, you hold it up with a string. Okay. So how long can that string be? You do the same thing if you're selling the very expensive argaman. The din over there is shalosh etzba'ot. Longer than that, it hangs too low. You don't need that. How about the handle of a hatchet? Now, over there, obviously, we're not talking about a string. But over here, you do need a little bit that's going to extend outside of your hand in order to get a firm grip on it. On the other hand, if it extends too far, it's going to get in the way. So the yad hakardom, the part that can stick out underneath your hand in the other direction, me'acharov, is a maximum of shalosh etzba'ot that allow you to get a good grip on it. Beyond that, it's no good. Rabbi Yossi says, tefach tohor, even though it's yutzei shalosh etzpaot, if it goes to four etzpaot, then the idea is that the whole thing becomes tohor. That's it. You were giving me a maximum of shalosh etzpaot, but you didn't say, okay, so then you made it seem like anything beyond shalosh etzpaot is just not going to be yad. I'm telling you that once it's four etzpaot, namely a tefach, the whole darn thing is tar, not just the extra part. And that's because it becomes unwieldy. You know, let's use a big thing with a big, I got to use it to hammer, and the back is going to keep getting caught on things, and therefore it's not a good kli. Perek Chavtet Mishnah Hey. How about Chut Mosnaim Shel Chenvanim, or Shel Balei Batim? Now over there, in the makolet, or in your house, over there, you've got the type of scale that's going to be measuring larger things than a gold maker. You'll hold it up higher. You need a little bit more room in order for it the sides to reach a balance. That could be up to a tefach. Yad hakardom milafanav, and the hatchet. We talked about the hatchet, the part that's sticking out behind your hand. How about the part between your grisp, you're gripping it, and the top? How about that? So that should be one tefach to have a good grip. Shiyore yad ha pargol. If you have a pargol, which a pargol is a compass, not the kind not the compass that shows magnetic compass. It's a compass that you draw a circle with. So over there, the piece on the top that you turn the compass with, up to a tefach, that's a good way to hold the compass tightly to be able to turn it around on the ground. And the hand, the handle of a hand is the gears of shalyad. So the hand chisel, that's used by people that are engraving, like gravestones, or they're putting up plaques, shalmefatrei avanim, that is considered to be part of the makevet, up to one tefach, because that's the normal kind of grip on that kind of thing. How about a chot, next Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, how about a chot mazayim shel tzamarim? If you are a wool seller, or shel shoklei zchuchit, or you're selling glass over there, that's got to be much longer because it's much heavier stuff. There it can be up to two tvachim, tvachayim. Yad hamakor, if you've got the type of chisel that's being used on big things, like a millstone to be able to be core, make these little holes in it, that is also two tvachim. Note that we've been going three etzbaot, six etzbaot, 18, and so on and so forth. So we're going up. So we've already got to the point where you're at two tvachim over here in the handles. Yad hama'atzat shel legionot. Fascinating thing. So we're talking about a legionnaire. A legionnaire's got a mace. Okay. If you're into using maces, how long would the hand be? Eight tvachim. That's a good size to smash somebody's head. Yad ha-kurnos shel zahavim, and the hammer that we've been talking about as zahav, we just had this back in Shabbos, we were talking about it, and that's used to make gold foil, that also is tvachayim. But if you're talking about a handle for a charash, so he's a professional smithy, I mean, that's much longer. Then you've got three tvachim as the normal size of a handle. And now if you'll allow me, Mishnah Tet, Shiyore HaDarbein Milamala. Remember, we talked about the Darbein in many different ways. And we talked about the Darbein earlier as having two parts. It has the Darbein, which is used as the prod to keep the ox going in the right direction. And it also has at the bottom, it's got a blade that you use for root cutting that might get stuck in the plow. So you're walking ahead behind the animal. You use it, the top of it, as a goad, and you use the bottom of it to cut any roots that might catch the plow. So over there, the top part, you would have four tvachim from the place where you're holding it. And the yad habadid, a badid is a special kind of shovel that you use to make the ditch around the trees to collect the water. That would be properly four whole tvachim, because it's a shovel that you need to really put your muscles into. A yad hakardom shel hanikosh, somebody who's got a pickaxe, so that's used for rocks, that you need even five tvachim. And a yad of a ben hapatish, if you've got a small hammer, and that's used for like gentle kind of work from a distance, would be five tvachim long. The large hammer, even six tvachim. The handle of an axe, if it's used for bikua, which is wood chopping, or it's the handle of a axe that's used for adir, for digging. It's not really an axe. It's I forgot what you call it. An eder. I forgot what it's called in English. That would be six tvachim. A yad makevich al satatin, a real stonemason, which is, he's dealing with these big stones that he just wants to smooth them out, it would be up to six tvachim in order to get a nice big swing on it. And Mishnah Chet is Shiarei Charchur Milamata. The Charchur is the other part of the Mardea. So the Mardea, we said up on top, it's used for goading. How far away? Oh, a hoe, yeah, probably. No, I think a hoe is like a flat and long. The adir has a sharp edge. Anyway, so the shiori charchur, that's the bottom blade that cuts through the other side, is used for cutting the roots. That is seven tvachim, because you need to get it down to the ground and you're walking, standing up behind the animal. Yad magrefa shel ba'alei batim, the little shovel that you use in the house to get your coals out of your oven. Beit Shammai omrim, up to 7 tvachim. Beit Hillel say up to 8 tvachim. As far as a shovel that's used by a plasterer, Beit Shammai says 9 tvachim. Beit Hillel says 10 tvachim. And now what would be the din if it's more than that? So if it's more than that shear, whatever the shear was, whatever it was, balibatim or whatever, imratzala kayem, if you want to keep the extra handle, then it is tummy. Even though before we said, if you want to keep something that's too long, it's not tummy. But over here, there is basically a variation in usages of these things. And some people like to keep further away from the dirty ashes and so on. That's considered to be a normative use. And therefore, if you were actually miyachid it for that, then it will be considered to be a yad. And it's perfectly able to handle the havarav tuma from both directions, even at that length. Yad misham she'aur, if you've got something that is being used directly in fire, you know, so let's say it's a barbecue tool or something. Well, over there, people are scared of getting burned, and they can make a very long handle for that. I mean, maybe they make their barbecue very hot. So then kol shehu, if it's protective, then there's no problem. And now we have our dear Richie, who's going to give us a hadralach numei hasadin.